Blog Talk Radio.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any of the power that shines out of God's soul and energizes all life in the universe. They have wed themselves to death. And they will crumble, and they will fall, and for eternity, we wed ourselves to life, and to everything good, and everything that flows from.
All you ever hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the fucking money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. You know, anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything you can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank. You know how I describe the economic and social classes in this country? The upper class keeps all of the money, pays none of the taxes. The middle class pays all of the taxes, does all of the work. The poor are there just to scare the shit out of the middle class. Keep them showing up at those jobs.
They're all the same. I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up.
Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
I have this feeling, man, because you know there's a handful of people actually run everything. That's true. It's provable. I'm not a conspiracy nut. It's provable. Handful, very small elite run and own these corporations, which include the mainstream media. I had this feeling who's ever elected president, like Clinton was, no matter what the promises you promise on the campaign trail, blah, 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 when you win, you go into this smoky room with the 12 industrialist, capitalist scum fucks who got you in there, and you're in this smoky room, and this little screen comes down, and a big guy in a cigar, roll the film. And it's a shot of the Kennedy assassination from an angle you've never seen before.
That looks suspiciously off the grassy knoll.
And then the film, the screen goes up, and the lights come up, and they go to the new president. Any questions? Just what my agenda is. First we bomb Baghdad. You got it.
Life is filled with interesting things. That's why I could never commit suicide. I'm having too much fun keeping an eye on you folks. Watching what you do. Human behavior. That's what I like. Humans do some really interesting things. Like, besides killing ourselves, we also kill each other. Murder. And we're the only ones who do that, by the way. Humans are the only species on Earth that deliberately kills members of another species for personal gain. Or pleasure. Sometimes it's just fun. We're also the only species that deliberately kills members of another species for personal gain. Or pleasure. That's what hunters do. They kill for pleasure. That's us. Human beings. Interesting folks. Murderers. Here's an interesting form of murder we come up with. Assassination. You know what's interesting about assassination? Well, not only does it change those popularity polls in a big fucking hurry, but it's also interesting to notice who it is we assassinate. You ever notice who it is, stop to think of who it is we kill? It's always people who've told us to live together in harmony and try to love one another. Jesus, Gandhi, Lincoln, John Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, John Lennon. They all said, try to live together peacefully. Bam! Apparently we're not ready for that. Yeah, that's difficult behavior for us. Not too bright, folks, not too bright. But if you talk to one of them about this, if you isolate one of them, you sit them down rationally, and you talk to them about the low IQs and the dumb behavior and the bad decisions, right away they start talking about education. That's the big answer to everything. Education. They said, we need more money for education. We need more books, more teachers, more classrooms, more schools. We need more testing for the kids. You say to them, well, you know, we've tried all of that, and the kids still can't pass the tests. They say, oh, don't you worry about that. We're going to lower the passing grades. And that's what they do in a lot of these schools now. They lower the passing grades so more kids can pass. More kids pass, the school looks good, everybody's happy, the IQ of the country slips another 2 or 3 points, and pretty soon all you'll need to get into college is a pencil. Got a pencil? Get in there, it's physics. Then everyone wonders why 17 other countries graduate more scientists than we do. Education! Politicians know that word, they use it on you. Politicians have traditionally hidden behind three things: the flag, the Bible, and children. No child left behind. No child left behind. Oh, really? Well, it wasn't long ago you were talking about giving kids a head start. Head start, left behind. Someone's losing some ground here. But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The big, the wealthy, the real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're irrelevant. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back. so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they used to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Man. You know? And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it. But say what you want about America, folks. Yeah. You can say what you want about Americans. You can call them smart, dumb, ignorant, innocent, naive, gullible, easily led, whatever you want. You're going to have to deal with them. You're going to have to deal with them because you're in the television business now. You got the all-suicide channel on cable TV.
Okay, everybody. My name is Joseph Gibson. How's everybody doing tonight? It's Thursday, a little after 6:11 p.m. 6:11 p.m. on the East Coast here, broadcasting from Greensboro, North Carolina. Sunny North Carolina today. Beautiful weather, 75 degrees. This is the time you want to enjoy the weather in North Carolina. Because let me tell you, in about 30 days, maybe a little more, 45 days, it turns into the hottest damn place on earth. It's so muggy, hot, the sun is so strong, you can't breathe, there's no rain. You pray for a thunderstorm to come by and drop a little rain. All the grass is burnt up, your trees are wilting, screaming for water. If you got a garden, man, you better keep water on it because it's going to burn up fast. It gets so hot, trust me. Those of you from North Carolina, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Step outside around middle June, July, August, and September. Let me tell you, the air is so thick. You could take a pair of scissors and cut your name in it. That's how thick it is. The bugs at night are screaming for water, screaming. That's how hot it gets down here in North Carolina. And I'm sure in Alabama, Mississippi, it's just as bad. Florida gets a lot of rain. They get tons of rain. And southern Alabama, Louisiana, and Georgia, they all get tons of rain. We don't. I mean, if we're lucky, the past couple of years, we've gotten some good rains where it kept the grass green, the trees alive from falling down dead, the drunks from dying of dehydration in the gullies. You know, we've been lucky. We got some thunderstorms and some good water. But I'll tell you what, about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, let me tell you, it was like 110 degrees. Like 20 days in a row with no rain. The grass was dead. The ground was cracking. It was bad. It was bad. But I hope everybody's doing all right tonight. Hey, listen, last night we had an emergency broadcast with the captain, fellow Blog Talk Radio host. He also has a show on another network also. I forget the name of that network, but he tries to broadcast simultaneously. Bring in many more listeners to Blog Talk, and the cap has been in the radio business for quite a long time. And last night he was having some hardware software issues, and I volunteered to help him out. We had a pretty good show. We had a 60-minute long show from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., and we had Joe from Meriden, Connecticut call in. We talked a lot about computers and these hackers out there. So if you missed that show, you really need to go back and look at the archives. All you got to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson, and you will see all the archive shows, and just look for last night's show. It was a pretty darn good show. I was a little worried, but I had to help out a friend. We help each other out, and that's what we're trying to do on Blog Talk Radio. I've asked Peter Ventura, Dr. Ventura from San Diego, California, helped me out several times, but he's so unreliable. Even though he is a friend, he's so unreliable. He's chasing that money. and I'm sure some of us know what I'm talking about. Driving from one end of the country to the other. Why? I don't know how. How he affords it, I don't know. You know, like many people have told me, how could you drive from California to Florida to Connecticut, back down to Florida to North Carolina, back out to California 4 or 5 times each year without even having a job? Something's going on, folks. But that, like I said, hey, he's a friend of mine, and where that money's coming from, I don't know. Sure not coming from me, that's for sure. But like I said, if you missed last night's show, it was an emergency broadcast. I know I didn't email many of my supporters and let them know. It was like I found out at like 8:35, and I was out here typing on the keyboard real fast and trying to put together the show real fast, calling people and trying to figure out how I can get him logged into my program. But we had a pretty exciting time last night. And Joe from Meriden, like I said, he called. I sent him an email real quick. You know, he's one of the few people who I email and responds right away. Other people, I'll email them and I'll never get a response, or I'll get a response days later. But we had a really, really good show last night where we talked a lot about, you know, this the computers, the internet, and these hackers and the spam we get, and you know, everything. That's a lot what's going on in the information world, because we're all integrated into the computer systems today, and we all are, you know, partaking into the information world, and it's just, you know, it's important information. It really is. It's important information that we can, you know, take advantage of. So Joe shared a lot last night. I know I've got about 10 people in the chat room. I know I had Joe in the chat room too. I don't know why I see the BitBanker keep logging out on me, but he keeps logging in and logging out. I know we're number one right now with 11 chatters, 10 right now because BitBanker logged out. But I know the chat room has got about 10 to 11 people here and there, hit and miss. That so we're number one right now in the ratings. Live, that is, live. So I'd like a lot of people to, you know, I always tell my supporters to log into the chat room. And I saw Mike from Wisconsin. He called in. Now he hung up. So, you know, I'm trying to get some people, supporters on here to call in tonight because I had a scheduled guest. It's just my guest that I've been trying to get on for a while, and I think I'm really going to kind of end this little charade here. I've been trying to get... It just so happens this guest is from Greensboro, High Point, North Carolina. And we all know how many people from North Carolina, well, if you don't like what I say, too bad, hang up, are unreliable. You know, I've been trying to get this guest on now for about 30 days. And I don't want to smash or bash this individual, but hey, you know... you tell me you're going to come on, and then you cancel 24 hours ahead of time. And then you say, okay, what about Thursday? Okay. Good. Thank goodness I had used my conscience, and I did not broadcast or advertise that particular program. So I'm kind of going to let that guest go. If that guest decides to call in, that's up to that individual to do that, okay? It's up to that individual to call in during live show hours, but I just can't schedule you. I mean, and I'm not going to mention any names, but that individual is from my area, and it's a very important issue. And like I said, I hear every excuse. I got a job. I don't know if I have to work. I got a flat tire 5 times. my grandmother died 7 times. My mother died 3 times. I was sick, I had the flu, I was in the hospital, every excuse you get, you know. And we all know, you know, nobody wants to hear excuses. Nobody does, especially if you're a business owner. And like, for instance, at one time, I was a business owner. At one time, I no longer am. But I do it as a hobby now. But at one time, you know, just a little something on the side to make a couple dollars here and there as a hobby. But I was at one time, and the American workforce out there was so lazy, so laid back, so stupid and dumbed down. that it was very difficult to find reliable, hardworking, honest people. I mean, it just was. And you know, I say, well, maybe that's just around here. But we see that throughout the country. Americans, really, when it comes to the work, the American workforce, we don't have a strong workforce anymore. They're undertrained. All they want to do is be entertained. They can't wait until they take their next cigarette break. They can't figure out anything on them by themselves or think for themselves and take any type of initiative to be a leader. They have to be directed and told what to do every second, every minute, every hour of that day that they work. Leave them by themselves, and what first thing they're going to do is find the first chair they can sit down in, pull their cell phone out of their pocket, and start text messaging their friends, and light up a cigarette. I talked to somebody earlier today, minimum wage. These Taco Bell, Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's workers all want $15 an hour. They all want that to be the minimum wage. Now, we all know Burger King, McDonald's are what? They're entry-level jobs, lower entry-level jobs. Most people do not make a career out of those types of jobs. Those are part-time jobs for high school students or college students to make an extra buck. It's not a career. I mean, unless you go into management and become a manager, and even then, really, they don't pay very much, what, 30 grand a year, if that, you know, and that's hard to live off of. But some people become, you know, franchise owners or district managers. But those are what we call lower entry-level jobs. Those aren't not careers. And besides, we all know when you pull up through the drive-thru at a fast food restaurant, those of you who eat there, they can't even get an order. You cannot order a hamburger today without them screwing it up. And if you don't tell them what a you want, a number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they don't know anything. Tell them I want a cheeseburger with just cheese on it. What, you want a four, number 4, sir? You want a number 3? What are you talking about, 3 or 4? I'm telling you what I want. You serve hamburgers here, right? Yes. I want a hamburger with just cheese on it and put some onions, too. So you want a number 4, sir? They can't figure it out. They're so stupid. Flat out. Stupid. You know, and I worked part-time. I remember working at a grocery store when I was younger, you know, and we didn't have that. I took the lead, actually. I progressed when I was 16 years old. I remember working at Stella's Pizza in Wallingford, Connecticut, 14 years old. I'd get out of school at 1:50, walk home, have a snack, then walk to Stella's Pizza, you know, about 2 miles away from my house, big deal. Or ride my bike. I'd start at 4 o'clock and I'd work till midnight, 8 hours. It was under the table, cash. Whoa. No, you know, but that's, you know, that's the way it was done back then. You know, this guy was an Italian, barely spoke English, and he hired me. And I was a good worker for him. He paid me $4.25 under the table. I worked 8 hours, 3 or 4 times a week there as a dishwasher. And then I progressed to a pre-cook, making salads, chopping up the garlic, making the sauce. And, of course, when he put his secret recipe in the sauce, I had to, you know, go someplace else because, you know, he had his certain spices and his little mixture he put into the sauce. And I remember him always yelling at me, the sauce, stir the sauce. You know, he had to stir the sauce every 20 minutes, a big pot, huge pot, you know, because this had to feed a restaurant for 2 or 3 days. So, you know, we had a huge pot of sauce. And, you know, this was an Italian restaurant. And there was no moments where I would sit down and smoke a cigarette. I was on my feet those 8 hours. At the end of the day, he let me eat for free. Hey, make yourself something to eat, whatever you want. You want to take something home to your family? He let me do whatever I want at the end. You know? And that's what I remember today. Ho, ho, ho! McDonald's, they'll throw away the hamburger before they give it to you. Well, then again, they should throw it away because it's not the damn poison. But, you know, it was a different time. And I'm sure other people that are listening tonight, it was a different time for you when you were growing up also. And we get to today. And last night, let's get back to last night's program, where the Cap was talking about Ted Cruz and all this delegation stealing these delegates. Like a couple callers have stated in the past, presidents are selected, not elected. Can't you see, people, now they are telling you, even on mainstream media, your vote don't count. It doesn't count. They can change the rules anytime. That's a convention. So they can put in there anybody they want. If there's a brokered convention, guess what? They could pull Jeb back into the race. Say, we want Jeb to be president. There's nothing you got to say about it either, slaves. Your vote doesn't count. Last night, we called 5 different phone numbers trying to get a hold of Ted Cruz. I'm not going to do that to you tonight. I'm going to research some of these numbers. We're going to try to get a hold of one of these candidates. Even Trump. We're going to get a hold of somebody in their campaign to answer some of our questions here. I will get somebody. I'm going to try my damnedest to get somebody live. Now, we all know a couple weeks ago we called the White House and, you know, we got snowblowed and pushed off to the side, and all we got was the comment line where they don't do anything but answer the phone. Now, basically, that's what she told me. We don't handle that here, sir. We don't do anything here. We just sit here and answer the phone. Basically, that's what she told me. But in the next couple weeks, even if I have a guest scheduled, which we will have a guest during the next show, and we will, I just like I told you earlier, just to regress here, I did have someone I wanted to put on tonight. However, they're unreliable. They keep canceling, so I'm going to move forward. I also, real quick, also want to tell people, I'm trying to obtain someone who lived during the Holocaust, who survived the Holocaust. I've already received a couple emails, and I have to check them out to make sure they're legitimate, because we know many of those people from back in the day, during the 1940s, who were imprisoned in Auschwitz, Nazi German prison camps across Europe. In Germany at that time, many of them are, you know, they're dying. They're in their early 90s, late 80s, late 90s now, and they're dying off. So that generation will be gone within the next 5 or 10 years. There'll be nobody left. So what I'm trying to do is get someone who survived that torture, who lived through that torture, who actually lived in a Nazi Germany prison camp. And I've received a couple emails already with people inquiring, and they're going to contact their relatives. I heard from a great-granddaughter of a woman who actually is 96 years old today, and if she's able and up to it, she may be a guest on this program to tell her story on how she was tortured, given a number on her arm, and watched her family be killed, and put into a gas chamber when she was a little girl in Nazi Germany, okay? So we're going to try to obtain someone from that era who can tell their story on what they saw, who witnessed their brothers and sisters murdered in front of them, their mother and father murdered, and many of their next-door neighbors where they lived, their community murdered, put into a gas chamber, women stripped butt naked, put into a gas chamber, and put to death with little girls, their daughters. There's horror stories. I've already spoken, like I said, I conversed emails with a couple people, and the stories that are going to be told are quite frightening, because that's what happens when a government has total control over its people. That's what happens when they disarm the general public. You can't fight back. What are you going to do? Throw rocks at an AK-47? You're going to throw rocks at a tank? Okay, that's why the Second Amendment is so very important. And I know there's liberal assholes out there, excuse my language, that will argue, but they have no common sense, and they have no truth, and they don't see any common sense whatsoever. And hopefully when the republic is restored, we can get rid of those people somehow in a very intelligent and humane way. People really need to separate themselves from our society. These people that are not freedom lovers, they want the government to pay for everything for them. They want to never work. The Bernie Sanders type of people, the Hillary Clinton type of people, you know, those people are a very, very cancerous sore on our society. But that, I think, will be a great show to have someone who survived a prison camp, a Nazi prison camp, where they watched their relatives die in front of them. Imagine that, you being in a prison camp and you see your mother and father tortured to death in front of you. You see your brothers and sisters tortured, put to death in front of you, and you're forced to work in that labor camp. And here you are many years later, able to tell that story. You know, so that will be something that will be archived forever. And hopefully I can get one of these individuals and they check out to be clear and be for real, and we can tell that story. That would be something very awesome, I think, for this program. So if anyone wants to check in tonight, like I said, I don't have the guest canceled. And unless I hear something different or I hear something spectacular tonight, we will wrap it up rather early, and I promise we will have something on Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time where I can get someone and a different voice on here. So if you want to check in tonight and if you have something to say or if you have a comment or show idea, then you need to do so at 657-383-0616, and that includes the people in the chat room. I always have about 5 to 11 guests in the chat room. They usually just listen because I invite people, hey, if you don't want to talk, you could just listen. That's great. But we need to hear from some other people that were on this show also prior that haven't checked in a while. I know Jason in North Carolina, my brother Jason, he has not checked in for a very long time. We know Debbie Lewis hasn't checked in for a very long time, and we need to hear those voices again. So those of you out there who are family and friends, you really need to reach out to them and say, hey, call into the program. You know, check in with us. You know, see what's going on. You know, support the program. This is a voice for all of you. Look, this pro show is growing. This past month, every show we've had 1, 2, 3 guests on this program. One night we had 3 guests at one time on this program. We had the Constitutional Party running for president of the country on this show a few weeks ago. These are veterans who are going to actually run for office in the Constitutional Party after the, you know, GOP debates and stuff when we get to the national election. We had these guys on this program, folks. So we had the former president of Canada on this program. We had Sean Rowe, a veteran, who's been on national TV on this program. So the show is growing month by month. And I have those my supporters at thank for that. And I also am putting a lot of hard work into emailing people and reaching out to people. You got to remember, there's a lot of scammers out there too, scumbags, that will trick you. So that's why I say, you know, I have to check these people out, make sure they're for real also. I have to verify these things. But I'm going to let Joe speak. I'm not going to rush everyone off the air, like I said, but we will wrap it up early. But I'm going to go ahead and let Joe speak and have his say. Joe from Meredith, Connecticut. Go ahead. How you doing?
Good evening. Can you hear me good?
I can hear you just fine.
Yeah, well, I thought I'd press one and talk. Seems like you were looking for someone to talk, so I figured, you know, I'd take a shot at it. That's going to be an interesting chat about Hitler and the concentration camps. And from what I recall, too, they used chlorine gas, they used Zyklon B, and they also pumped the exhaust of the vehicles into the rooms to get rid of the people. That's what I think anyway. That's what I recall.
You're right. That's going to be a very, very, I mean, to listen to a 96-year-old woman, hopefully this comes to be true, tell how her family was killed right before her very eyes. Obviously, she's not lying. I mean, why would a 96-year-old woman lie about this, you know?
Yeah, from what I gathered, they used to come in train cars all packed in there just as tight as they could. They'd be told to strip down to nothing. They'd be placed in a room, and they'd be packed in there so tight they couldn't even move. And then they'd pump in this gas and, you know, try to get the bugs off of them and everything. But I said, I think they use chlorine, but then they wanted a quicker way, so they use something called Zyklon B. But, you know, you can almost do the same thing today, and you get away with it. You call yourself the government or the water division if you live in a major city, and they pump fluoride and chlorine in the water. And everyone has those nice hot showers with the water steaming up the bathroom, and you're breathing in all those toxic chemicals. Just think what that does over 30, 40, 50 years, you know, and that's why I say, you know, the medical establishment and the pharmaceuticals, they got drugs to treat the symptoms of everything because they say smoking causes cancer. Well, you know what? That's what they say, but I don't necessarily believe that because no one really knows for sure.
Well, that's like that saying, I think even you said this, I smoked, 20 cigarettes a day all my life, I'm now 70 years old, no health problems. What happens if I would have drank 20 cans of Coca-Cola every day?
would I still
be in the same situation?
I don't think that guy could get through 20 weeks of Big Macs before he had problems.
Yeah.
On that, whatever movie he made there at that time. About eating McDonald's.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you could even get through 20 weeks, and you know, they ban cigarettes, but they don't ban McDonald's.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, isn't that something?
I'm not promoting smoking. You know, anything in excess will be bad for you. But, you know, tobacco is an herb, too, and it has its benefits as well. But, you know, man gets involved in it, and right then and there is when the problems begin.
Well, it's what they add to it, all the chemicals,
exactly.
make it addictive. Yeah. You know,
exactly.
How about natural tobacco? Have you ever smoked natural tobacco without any of the chemicals? I haven't.
Well, being from North Carolina and being there, I've seen many, many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres of tobacco growing there, but I actually grow it here in Connecticut as well. And yes, I grow my own tobacco, and it's legal to do here in Connecticut, and it's legal to sell the leaves of the plant, which grow to 3 to 4 feet in length here in Connecticut, depending on the kind of tobacco I grow. But if you cut the leaf, they'll arrest you. Because now
you're
taking
the leaf. What do you mean? Cut the leaf.
In other words, if you think you're going to make it in tobacco and sell it by cutting the leaf, if the leaf is cut up, now it's considered tobacco and you'll go to jail.
Oh my Lord.
Oh yeah, they got to get those tax dollars. You know, I thought about importing cigarettes at one time. What I used to do is I used to grow all my own herbs for whatever ails people, and roll them into cigarettes. And I used to make 4 packs or 10 packs, depending on the particular herbs. Some herbs are very potent, and I used to sell them on eBay. And after that, you know, I did it for a while, and then I had some younger eBayers message me, and I thought to myself, you know what, this may not be such a good idea after all, because these kids are going to buy this.
What about birch bark and Irish moss? Well, Cirrus perilla root? I mean, what do you think about that?
Oh, birch bark. Yeah, well, birch bark, you can make yourself some birch beer soda out of that as well. Irish moss, I don't know what Irish moss is good for other than to help with the sediment removal and everything when you make beer and things like that. You put Irish moss in there. And the other one, I don't even recall what you said. You're pronouncing it properly.
I probably are not, but I'll spell it out for you if you want. It's
sarsaparilla.
Yeah. Okay. See. Okay. Yeah.
With sarsaparilla, sassafras, wintergreen, you can make some root beer soda. although the government indicates that sassafras grows wild up here in Connecticut. Sassafras trees are huge trees, but they say sassafras causes cancer. But I've made many batches of root beer from sarsaparilla, sassafras, wintergreen, and of course you use organic sugar and spring water. But you make root beer soda out of it.
Really? Wow. I remember when I was on the dairy farm, my Uncle Mike and his wife Melody, we used to make soda, actually, natural soda. I don't know if it was natural, but we had a soda machine there that would where we used to make soda. And it was so long ago, I don't remember how it was done. But maybe if Mike or his wife is listening, they can explain it. But I just remember that soda machine, and it tasted pretty good, and it wasn't that bad for you like it is the soda they have today, you know? And
exactly.
The
soda machines they have out now are called Soda Streams, and they're like $119. A better way of doing it is go to your local compressed gas center and buy yourself a 5, 10, or 20-pound tank of carbon dioxide, and you can buy a regulator and a hose and a fitting to fit right on a regular soda bottle. And the normal way to make soda, of course, to get it carbonated is to use yeast, but you have to be careful because if you let it go too long, you get too much alcohol, and if you drink the soda, you'll get drunk. But if you don't want to go that route, you can carbonate it right from the CO2 container there, and then you have nice bubbling soda.
Yeah. Well, I got Mike on the line now, so I'm going to go ahead and patch him through. I want to ask him a couple of questions, actually.
Okay.
I'm glad he checked in. Hey, Mike, you there?
Hi, Mike.
Hey. Hi, everybody. Yep. Hey, that soda machine, Joe, you were talking about?
Yeah.
That was like the very first version of what my brother just said, the Soda Stream. But it was all natural, you know what I mean? The syrup was natural, not like what they have today, you know? And
do you still have that machine, Mike? Do you still have it?
Yeah, I have it somewhere, but I actually have one of those Soda Streams that my brother was talking about. And the difference in the taste is night and day. And it has to be because when we used to buy the syrup, we used to buy them off of a company called Schwann's. And they Yeah, they had these trucks that used to come out to the farm and sell you all, like, natural ice cream and everything. Oh, their ice cream.
Up at your mother's cabin, too, the Schwann's truck. I remember that was, like, the big thing. The Schwann's truck is coming.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like night and day between the two. You know what I mean?
Go ahead, Joe.
I got dogs barking here and everything. I tell you what I do. When my herbs, my lemon balm herbs, my peppermint and spearmint, oranges, lemons, what I generally do at the end of every summer, of course, not the lemons and the oranges. I'll take that throughout the year, but I'll cut them up and peel them, and I put them in a bottle with vodka. You know, people see me going down to Packy Store coming out with gallons of vodka. Maybe they think I drink this stuff or something. I don't know, but I don't drink vodka. Anyway, I mix it with vodka, and then when I get a good quart of it or so when I get a full bottle of herbs or a good quart or so of lemon or orange, I'll boil it down on the stove, and you'll get a quart, and you'll boil it down to maybe an ounce or two. And then I put it in a bottle, and I put it in the refrigerator. And if I ever want to make lemon or orange soda or whatever, I just go in there. That's my concentrate.
Really?
Yeah, interesting.
The only thing is, when you boil down a quart of vodka, the whole house smells like you've been drinking.
Yeah. Mike, how's your father doing? He's not called in since that big night. I haven't been able to get a hold of him.
He's doing pretty good. I called him just before the show, and he was kind of tired and everything, and so he said he wasn't going to call in tonight, but he's going to try to make Sunday's show, he said.
Good. I've been trying to call him, and he doesn't answer, so I don't know if he's
he's going through some trials and tribulations with this injury. A lot of people on this line know my dad, and Nana was a little bit like this too. Nobody's sick. Well, if you're sick, you're faking, you know. And
yeah.
If you have an injury, you're faking. But if they're sick and they have an injury, the world's ending. And, you know, this time he had one heck of an injury. So, it's different to deal with, you know, than before. Before it was
yeah,
so a lot of, But, I was just thinking the other day, you know, they say that they don't want to waterboard our enemies anymore because it's,
yeah.
You know, it's too cruel. Well, I got a way of getting information out of them. Stick them in a room and play the Democratic debate for them over and over and over, and pretty soon they'll crack.
Yeah, because it is so damn boring. Don't you agree?
Oh, totally. You know, just...
Or you could give them Obamacare and have them go to a doctor.
Yeah, that'll kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Hopefully he makes
Sunday's show. Hopefully he makes Sunday's show, Mike.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe.
I have insurance, but in the past I had to go on Medicare, and I've really never used it. I've been on Medicare, but I've gone to all my own doctors and things like that, and paid for it out of my pocket and whatever. I don't go that much anyway. But one of the last times I went to my own doctor, you know, there was a sign there. It said, no insurance, $65. If you have Medicare, it's $173. So what I did is I signed up at the clinics here in Meriden for care, because, you know, it's always nice to have a doctor that you can go to or call just in case you need it. And I just want to say that the clinics here in Meriden, where I go, I've been three or four times in the past couple of months, and, you know, it's just for checkups and to see how you're doing and get to know everybody and all that and everything. And they are so efficient, and they're so good, and they're so friendly. It's nothing like going to a regular doctor. These clinics here in Meriden, the ones I've encountered anyway, they're very good, they're very quick, and they're very efficient.
Yeah, that's good. How's medical care out there in Wisconsin, Mike?
Ever since Obamacare came in, it's gone south a little bit.
Mike, also, before I forget, not to cut you off, what the hell happened? They didn't support Trump out there in Wisconsin? What happened?
Like I told you before, I think I said that, you know, four or five precincts on the west side of the Wisconsin had their voting machines rigged. And the last time when Clinton ran for president what the Democratic Party did out here in Wisconsin is they went to every, you know, like low income area, you know, and they would give people stuff to vote, and then they would have these vans. They would drive all over. They drive 100 miles to pick up, 10 people and bring them back and make them vote Democratic. And they did this like it was, you know, I don't know, like it was, you know, a voyage for those, the campaign. And, well, Clinton won Wisconsin as well. And, With Wisconsin having a Republican governor, and, you know, I would think that it would pull more toward the Republican way, but it doesn't happen when you go to the voting booth. It's almost like, you know, if you're in Wisconsin, just you don't even have to vote because you know who's going to win.
Yeah, true. True. You're right. You're right. Well, you know, like I said in the beginning, presidents are selected, not elected, you know?
Yeah, because that's funny. If they get to the end of this election, you know, thing, and, you know, Trump's a couple hundred votes off, but everybody else is, you know, or hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of, you know, delegates off, you know, they should give it to the guy who, you know,
who wins the popular vote, you know.
They should give it to the guy who the people voted most for. That's what they should do.
That's right.
Absolutely right. What the hell are we just going to vote for if we can have, you know, 10 other people decide who we voted for?
Well, I may be going back to telling everybody and purporting my idea, don't vote. Don't vote. You can't vote. And no, you got to pick the lesser of two evils. No, you don't.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it doesn't really matter. Your candidate can win, and they could just come through and overrule it. Now they can change the rules, you know, on the spot. It's like, you know, what kind of democratic thing is that? I thought we were in a democracy. I guess not.
Yeah. All right, well.
Maybe we're actually in hell and don't know it.
Oh, and Obama's Beelzebub? No, McCutin's would have to be that. So who would he be?
Obama.
True. Well, Mike, I remember you asked me about the younger generation a few weeks ago, and right now I'm contacting John and Savannah from Wallingford, and I told them I want to do a show on their high school in the future so we can hear from the younger generation, especially about this the Trump and who they support. And hopefully we can get a couple high schoolers to call in the future, but I asked her to call into the show now, but she's out and about with her friends right now, so that's how, you know, these younger generations operate. But she said she'll check in with me in the future, which I'll have to go ahead and check in with her in the future, because she'll never check in with me, because it's so hard to get a hold of these younger generation people. But we want to hear how dumbed down they really are, basically. And I mean, I think that we're interested, because we want to know how lost we are in society, to be honest with you.
Well, what would be a good show is, I mean, just for instance, whoever you're talking about is out with their friends. No doubt they're spending money. Where'd they get it from? They don't have a job. Okay?
Yeah.
And if they don't have a job, they had to get it from somewhere, so they got it from their parents. And now their parents are sitting up crying broke, saying we can't pay our rent, and, you know, my car's going to be taken away from me, or my motorcycle's going to be taken away from me. Well, stop giving your kids, you know, $20 every night to go out and have fun. I mean,
She just turned 16 3 days ago.
Oh boy, big trouble now.
Well, if that was the case, you know, she should have a job today. She said happy birthday. You know?
That's right. Instead of being out on the trail with your friends, you know what you should be typing me? I'm at work right now. You know, it's after school.
Right.
I'm at work. You know, but that's our youth. That's our youth, Michael. We're lost. You know.
If we, one thing this country doesn't realize is, and I guess I'm a little biased on this because I'm a dairy farmer. Is that, you know, the dairy farms in Wisconsin are dwindling real fast, and the younger generation won't take it on. So
that's too much work, Mike. That's too much work for them.
You should see the auctions that are appearing in the paper. Usually they do in the spring anyway, but I mean it used to be like, you know, four or five here and there. Now it's page after page after page.
Mike,
and,
what are we going to do? I mean, once all these dairy farms are lost and gone, what kind of state is that going to put America in?
Well, it's the way America is going. You know, years ago, the husband and the father went to work. The mother stayed home and took care of the kids. They bought a house. They paid for the house. They may have bought a car. They went on vacation, and it was fine. And now, you know, the husband may work two jobs. The mother may work two jobs. And they can't buy a house.
Huh. Yeah, and the kids, they're out on the trail with their friends.
or in daycare.
Yeah, or in daycare or in jail, you know. So, as I said
last night, this $15 minimum wage that everyone thinks is going to enrich them, it may be to their detriment.
I know. $15 an hour, you still can't live off of that, you know.
But what's that going to do to the people that have, like, worked at a job for, you know, 5-10 years, and you know, every year they get a 25-cent raise or you know, COLA raise, and you know, and they started with, like Joey, when you used to work at the pizza restaurant, $4.25 an hour, you know, and
yeah,
let's say they've been working at that job, and you know, let's say they started at minimum wage at $8, and it's been 10 years. Now they're making $10.50. Okay. Well, how do you think those people are going to feel when their son comes home from McDonald's and says, "Hey, they just gave me a raise. I'm making $15 an hour."
Yeah, no, yeah, that's true. That's absolutely correct.
$30,000 a year, and that's nothing now.
Nothing. $30,000 a year is nothing to raise. Well, you can live off of it with just you, but for a wife and a child or two or three or four, forget it. Forget it.
Yeah, and as I said last night, these people that are going to get that 15 are maybe making $7.58 now, and they want that 15. But what's going to happen is when they get that 15, they're not going to be entitled anymore to food stamps or rent subsidy or anything
else.
That's
right.
So the government won't be sending out that money in food stamps. They won't be sending out those rent subsidies, and they'll be collecting twice as much in taxes out of their paycheck.
And they're going to bankrupt the poor, the lower middle class. We're going to wipe them out now because the middle class has already been wiped out. Now they got to bankrupt and get rid of the lower middle class at those part-time jobs. You're absolutely correct. They won't be able to collect those food stamps anymore. And they're going to say, "What? What?"
Thank you, Colonel Sanders.
Yeah. Yeah, that's his new name, Bernie Sanders, Colonel Sanders.
Because if that happens, they won't even be able to afford chicken.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I don't know. It's just ridiculous. Like you said, Mike, when I worked, you know, the country wasn't in the best of shape when I was working at that pizza place. But, and I was a troublemaker as a youth, yes. But I knew how to work. And I knew that's what it took to get where I had to go in life, even though I was getting into trouble. You see, today, kids, they don't know how to work. They don't know how to start up a lawnmower, for God's sake. You know, so it's like, and all they know how to do is play video games and watch TV and send text messages.
Well, that's what my father commented about. And, Mike, I used to get up and leave. I'd go out and take apart a washing machine, go repair a TV set, go rip the heads off of a 383 Dodge or something like that. I could do all those things.
Today, they don't even know how to change a freaking spark plug, you know?
Well, nowadays, the way they put the spark plugs, I don't know how to change them either.
Well, that's true. I tell you what, remember I had a 1967 Mustang at the age of 16. Man, it was so easy to work on that thing. Even I, not even mechanically inclined, could take apart that engine. You know, but today, you can't even get to the damn oil. You don't even know how to change the oil in these new cars. They're so sophisticated.
They make the cars nowadays that you can't work on it yourself.
I was amazed at some of these new cars. You don't even need a key anymore. I've never seen none of that stuff.
That's right. Well, anyway, listen, guys, we put our hour in. That's great. And like I said, on Sunday, we'll try to get ourselves a guest in. And last night was a good hour, so if you missed that show. But listen, guys, please go into the Mike too. Try to, like, when you're listening live on the phone, try to also log into the chat room. Because sometimes we do get some interesting conversations in the chat room. So,
it keeps crashing here.
It does? Yeah, I know. You're picking up a little bit on us.
no, the chat room keeps crashing on me. I don't know whether it's Blog Talk forcing those ads down me or if it's Adobe Flash not working. Who knows?
I know. But anyway, hey, I want to thank Elizabeth Rondo for listening tonight. I see her number from Wallingford, Connecticut, Yaleville, Connecticut, excuse me. That's the proper term. And a couple others, anonymous. We didn't have that many people on the line tonight, actually only about 15. So, but I appreciate those. Because, like I said, I didn't advertise too much because I wasn't sure about my guests. But the show is growing. And, Mike, thanks for contributing. And it's kind of good that my regular supporters call in so we can keep the phone lines going, you know?
Go ahead, Mike.
You have something to say?
I was just going to say, as long as I'm alive and I'm able to dial the phone, you know, I'll be here.
All right, thanks. Hey, Mike, thanks for checking in. It's good to hear your voice. Joe and Meriden, thanks. I know you always call in. And everyone else that listened tonight, we'll wrap. Hey, next show will be Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I promise we'll have some new voices on here also. So good night, everybody.
Good night.
God bless. Take care.
Bye, Mike.
And see you, Joe. Bye.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war. But there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side, he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death. Or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material compositions. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. He said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous.
Good evening. I would like to report on the state of our war against the American people. We're mounting a sustained campaign. Crack down on every American and every person of every faith and every nation, and to bring them to justice. All missions are being executed according to plan, without warning or provocation. Americans are being swept up in an international dragnet. Thousands of FBI agents are on the trail of other citizens here and abroad. It has everything to do with hate and evil and murder and prejudice. America's strong, strong, strong.
Federal agents, we are armed!
Like every day, I watch it and listen and call them all suckers. They wanted me about Osama or whatever. Picture me buying the scam, I said never. You in tune to a hard truth, soldier spitting. I stay committed, gives a fuck to die, I lose commission. It's all a part of fighting devil state mind control. And all about the battle for your body, mind, and soul. And now I'm hoping you don't close your mind so they shape you. Don't forget they made us slaves, gave us AIDS and raped us. Another Bush season mean another war for profit. All in secret so the public never seek to stop it. The Illuminati, 666, all connected. Stole the votes, they control the race and take elections. It's the Skull and Bones Freemason Kill Committee. See the dragon getting shittier in every city. Who's the one with the most to gain? On 9/11, motherfuckers couldn't stand his name. Now even niggas waving flags like they lost their mind. Everybody got opinions, but don't know the time. Cause America's been took, it's plain to see. The oldest trick in the book is making enemy. A phony evil so the government can do its dirt. And take away your freedom, lock and load, beat and search. Ain't nothing changed but more colored people locked in prison. These pigs still beat us, but it seems we forgetting. But I remember 4 September how these devils do it. Fuck Giuliani, ask Diallo how he doing. We in the streets, holler jail to the thief. Follow fuck waving flag, bring these dragons to their knees. Oil, blood, money, make these killers ride cold. Suspicious suicide, people dying never told. It's all a part of playing God, so you think we need them. While being Ashcroft, take away your rights to freedom. Bear witness to the sickness of these dictators. Hope you understand the time, brother, cause it's major. My records always come the same. Keep it real, ain't no fillers, motherfucker blinging. Mine eyes seen the gory of the coming of the beast. So every story, every word, I'm saying fuck peace. See, you could witness the Illuminati body count. Don't be surprised, these is devils that I'm talking about. You think a couple thousand lies mean shit to killers? Nigga, I swear to God, we the ones, ain't no villains. Or any other word they think to demonize a country. Ain't no terror threat unless approval rating slumping. So I'ma say it for the record, we the ones that planned it. Ain't no other country took apart, I had their hand in. Just a way to keep you scary so you think you need them. Praising Bush, why that killer take away your freedom? How many of us got discovered but ignore the symptoms? Niggas talking loud but ain't nobody saying shit. And with the 4th Amendment gone, eyes are on the first. That's why I'm spitting cyanide each and every verse. I see the Carlisle Group and Harris bank accounts. I see them plead the 5th each and every session now. And while Reichstag burns, see the public buy it. I see the profiling, see the media's compliance. War is good for business, see the vicious make a savior. Hope you understand the time, brother, cause it's major.
What would you do if you knew all the things we knew? Would you stand up for truth?
States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible?
He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at me right at this moment.
Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to.
We were going to fall fast. We had an explosion, and we are defending the reentry. Let's try our best.
People calling themselves members of the Weather Underground last night planted bombs in federal office buildings in Washington and Oakland, California.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
Survivors of the USS Liberty are demanding a congressional investigation into what happened and acknowledgement that the Israeli Air Force bombed a U.S. intelligence Navy ship.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
The Taliban is taking responsibility for shooting down a U.S. helicopter. More than 30 people were killed, and there are reports this morning that most of them are U.S. Navy SEALs.
There may be a false flag incident where a ship goes down and used to accelerate the next war.
If there's one thing that has unified Democrats and Republicans, and everybody in between, that we all hated the bank bailout.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people.
They estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
From the front lines of the information war.
All right, everybody, thank you very much for listening tonight. I really appreciate it. And if you want to purchase a copy of my book, it's called Behind the Walls by Joel Hodnett. Okay? And you can pick up a copy of that book on Amazon.com. Okay, you go to Amazon.com and you can purchase a copy of that book. If you cannot afford to purchase a copy of my book, please tell me, and I will send it to you for free. I will send it to you for free, and I just ask that you please be honest, because if you can't afford a $20 bill, then obviously you are very, very poor, all right? But I thank everyone who's participated tonight, and God bless. Take care. Please tune in Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you have a story or a show idea, email me at joegibsonishome@yahoo.com. If you want to call in during show times, that is fine also. The phone number is 657-0616. I don't screen calls. We're 100% live. God bless. Everyone take care.